comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Oh, that's exciting. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And, you know, I'm fully aware of the fact that you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. And I want you to know that I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Tonight, we're going to be doing something, we're going to be talking about something that is just absolutely, thoroughly, from start to finish, fascinating. And it may seem like we're going to be talking about two different things, but they are actually related and maybe integrally related. As you know, Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills just returned from overseas. They were in Greece and they were in Bulgaria. And you are already very familiar with the tremendous information and interview and the story that they got for us in Bulgaria with Dr. Filipov. But also, he interviewed people in Greece about two or three or four other stories. Two of them we're going to talk about tonight. And one of them has to do with the discovery of an ancient crypt, an ancient vault, tomb, under the city of Athens that was discovered as they were tunneling for new routes for their metro subway system in Athens. And this contained the skeletons of giants. We're also going to be talking about a NASA connection to a prayer to the ancient gods asking them to come back to Earth. It took place in Athens. And there is a NASA connection to it, a direct NASA connection to it. So we'll be talking about both of those tonight. You want to be sure you fasten your seatbelt and get ready, because this ride into the world of the strange and unexplained is going to be stellar. If you have not yet subscribed to our K-Files, that's our free weekly newsletter, you need to do that. There's no genius in not doing it. Subscribe. And then each week, it's free, and each week when we send our newsletter out, you will get it. And if you're getting the K-Files, then you actually do get it. And if you're not getting the K-Files, no matter how much you think you're getting it, you're not. And if you can't figure out what I just said, that proves you're not subscribed to the K-Files, because you just didn't get it. Also, we have our members community. We are 100% listener-supported. We invite you to join, and nobody but you can do that for you. Click where it says join and become one of us tonight. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said at the top of the show, we've got Jerry Wills with us. He is our associate host here. He is also the executive producer at Expeditions TV. He is an explorer. And I could go on and on. And look, folks, if you don't know who Jerry Wills is, just hang on. You will in a few minutes as we progress through this show. And he, upon his return from Greece and Bulgaria, began to tell me some of the details about, as a matter of fact, even before he returned, he told me some of the details over Skype. And some of the details of some of the stories that he worked on and that he was able to get some video interviews. And we're going to be talking about a couple of those tonight. Now, Jerry, let's, first of all, welcome back. It's good to have you back with us. And it might do well if I would turn your mic on. There we go. Welcome back. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Jerry, the two reports that we're going to talk about tonight happened entirely in Greece, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's kind of tell folks a little bit about, kind of set the stage a little bit about this first one. Folks, Athens is, of course, a very old city. It's been around for thousands of years. And whenever Athens would expand, you know, there would be buildings over the years that would fall into disuse and so forth. And what they would do is just build on top of them. Now, it's not just Athens. It's that way in most of the world. Whenever you find an ancient city, you can dig down below it and find that same ancient city hundreds of years before. I mean, it's still there. They just build on top of it. And so there are layers of buildings. And with that in mind, Jerry, tell us about this tunneling project.
Well, basically what was happening is, as many cities have done, they're burrowing underground in order to put in a subway system. You find subways in all of the major metropolitan cities in Europe as well as here in the United States, so it isn't really anything new. The intriguing thing is that in Athens, you'd have to see this to believe it. It's absolutely mind-boggling. When I saw it, I was just dazzled. You dig down, and I saw places where this has happened at the museum in Athens, actually. You dig down 20, 30 feet, and there's an entirely different city underneath of it. Rooms with tiles, and it's beautiful. You dig down farther, and there's more. And what had happened is that these folks that were putting in the subway system, they have to go very slowly and very carefully because they're going right through these ancient ruins. And everything, by law, has to be documented and protected. It can't just be plowed through. So on this one particular occasion, when they were burrowing, well, that's when something very unusual happened.
And tell us what that unusual something is.
Well, they have these very large tunneling machines. I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with the things that are used here. And in these tunneling machines they're using over there, to my understanding, I've not seen one, but they sound very much like the same ones that are used here, although they're not nuclear powered and, you know, 30, 40 feet across. But still, they're burrowing through these ancient ruins, these ancient remnants of the city that was there 2,000 years or more ago. And what had occurred on this particular evening, my friend told me that his, I think it was his cousin, was working on this, and they broke through a wall, which is nothing unusual. And of course, breaking through a wall, they have to stop, go, inspect what just happened. When they went, they backed the machine out, of course, they went up, took a look with flashlights, and here was a very large room with giants laid out. It was like, like a crypt. And these giant bodies were laid out side by side by side, each on their own pedestal, with their armor and their armaments right there beside them. And these giants were, from what I was told, they were quite large, like 15, 16 feet tall, if they were standing. And just in rather good condition.
How many of them were there?
Well, I was told there was at least 100.
Wow. And now, they're not wrapped up like mummies, are they?
You know, that part really wasn't clear. I don't think they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not clear about that. I don't think that they were wrapped up like mummies. I think they were just laid out, in my understanding. I could be wrong about that, though. I don't know.
Okay, so each one is on his own pedestal or table, slab.
Yes. Marble.
Marble.
Yeah, marble.
Was the whole vault, the whole crypt, made of marble?
Marble.
So these are royalty.
Well, I suppose. Who knows at this point who they were. There were only three people on that shift, a supervisor and two workers. The workers made the supervisor aware of what had happened because he knew the machine had shut down, and that wasn't an unusual circumstance. He contacted the authorities. The next thing that happened was that the place was cordoned off. No one could go in there at all except for these three guys and whoever else might go in, because they had to maintain the equipment. They had to be there with the equipment. You couldn't just be left sitting, I guess. And then these guys were ushered out. Well, here you have a situation. Many of the folks listening have not been in another country, so they don't quite get this, but considering that you're in a place as busy as Athens, you have street vendors, little shops, the place is just, you know, it's full of people. It's not uncomfortably full, but it's full of people. And these folks are now standing and working and doing what they're doing here on their, you know, within their little place of business, which is in proximity to what's going on. So they got to see what happened next, as did the workers. And what happened was basically black vans, black vehicles, a whole slew of them showed up, and it looked like dignitaries and scientists went down there. And under the cover of darkness, in the middle of the night, the remains of these giants was very carefully taken out, loaded into trucks, and taken away, and no one knows where they went. And that went on for several days. Meanwhile, the folks who were there watching all of this saw all of it. They saw the whole thing. And the workers who were there, who had discovered it in the first place, they also had seen what these giants' remains looked like and saw everything that was to be seen there. I found it interesting that when I asked, were these folks sworn to secrecy? Were they told not to talk? And there might have been some reference to that, but they're talking, they're singing like canaries. But there isn't anyone to listen, because no one believes that this is true. Apparently there was a bit of information on their local TV about it, and then it just went away. We've been looking for that since we returned from Greece, and we haven't found any information about this at all. One of the folks was presuming that these giants were the part of a race of beings called the Titans. And if that were the case, what an incredible find. This was truly one of the more incredible things that we came across over there. I mean, we came across a lot of really amazing stuff, but this was one of those more incredible stories. We have recorded an interview with the fellow that I'm telling you about. We also have access to the man who was right there, and we can also get access to the merchants who were there and saw this happen as well. We would have gotten all of those interviews, not just the one, but we needed a few more weeks to be in Greece, and we weren't able to stay any longer. We do plan on going back, however, and getting this and a whole list, a litany of other stories that are equally as amazing and incredible.
Do the people there that you talk to about these giants, you said some of them are referring to them as possibly being the Titans. Do any of them, do those people refer, do any of the other people there refer to them as though they are the gods?
Well, the Titans were.
Okay, but they use that term?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. As a matter of fact, when you talk to the folks over there, and we talked quite a few, when you talk about the gods, it's not like in terms of, you know, oh, God in heaven, come down to earth and walk on water. You're talking about people who came from another world.
Okay.
These are people who came to this planet from somewhere else, and because of who they were, what they knew, their technological strength and intellectual strength, they were gods among men.
Did the people there that you talked with have any of the belief that the gods are immortal?
Well, I wondered about that as well. And I think the concept is that the gods were not necessarily immortal. They were gods because of their abilities, their capacity for really commanding heaven and earth.
15 to 16 feet tall. As a matter of fact, when Kathy was on the show with you, I believe this was the last time you were here, I think Kathy told us it was 16.4 feet or something, 16 feet 4 inches. Yeah,
that's Kathy. She'll have it right down to the decimal point.
Yeah, well, and that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's perfect.
So the person you were talking to is cousin to one of the men working on the machine, and when you go back, you will get to interview, I suppose, both of them, and
oh, yeah,
then some of the merchants that saw it. Did these black vans that the merchants saw, did these black vans have any markings on them? Were they in any way identified?
No. When you and I spoke about this while we were in Greece, I had mentioned that it had NASA markings on it. That was incorrect. And I think, you know, of course, we've had a chance to talk about this. But just to clear it up, there wasn't any markings on these vehicles whatsoever. Nobody knew who they were or where they were from or what happened to these giants. You know, one of the more prized things to be found still and has never been located is the throne of Apollo. And there were some folks that were speculating that maybe they found the throne of Apollo down there.
Well, maybe they did. You know, there's a connection between the Greek government and NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And that connection actually runs through a musician. There may be other connections, but there is a connection between the Greek government and NASA, and it runs through a musician who performed a concert, and we're going to talk about that, but we're going to wait until we come back from the next break to do that. His name here in the United States is pronounced Vangelis, and I bet none of you can pronounce his last name. even in an American accent.
Smith.
Papathanasiou.
Well.
Yeah, Vangelis. Fantastic, incredible musician. And he can make people who hate classical music love classical music. It's just phenomenal music. And through him, there is a connection between NASA and the Greek government. And possibly a connection to these giants, if they are, in fact, the Titans. When we talk about Titans, are we talking about Zeus? Are we talking about Apollo? Who are we talking about, Jerry?
All right, well, that's a good question. And I'm not as clear on it as Kathy is. I wish she were here to tell you in very specific terms. But essentially, the Titans were brought here to Earth, or they came here to this world from somewhere else. They were rather foul individuals. They were very tall, as we've mentioned, very hairy, didn't have very good manners. They were not very civilized. And they ate people. They were like the gods, except they were not the gods. They were different, the Titans. And the gods eventually went to war against the Titans because the Titans were threatening the people of Earth. Now, the Titans were brought here by the oldest gods. We're talking well before Zeus.
So we're talking about Kronos.
Yeah, Kronos, Uranus. Uranus was a god. And these folks were I'm not really clear why they were brought here, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. Maybe Kathy, during the break, I can ask her and find out. She's been researching this hot and heavy for quite a bit. But anyway, they went to war against the Titans. The gods did to protect the humans, and the last battle, as I recall, was the battle where Alexander finally tracked down the last of them in China. And
right. Let's hold up right there, Jerry, because we do have this break that is coming up on us, and it is going to be here in about 8 seconds. Folks, there may be a connection between this fascinating story about the giant skeletons, and we're going to talk about the giant skeletons some more, but then we're going to talk about the connection to NASA. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. And my guest, the associate host of this show, Jerry Wills. And, Jerry, when we went away for break, we were about to get into the, we were talking about the Titans, and we were about to get into this discussion of this musician, Vangelis.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do it right now, because it'll mess up you paying attention to what Jerry's got to say. But after the show, if you go to my website, or you can do it during one of the breaks, go to the website and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right under that picture is a link that says show info, or sometimes it says guest info. I think it says show info tonight, but I could be wrong. Anyway, click that link, and a little pop-up window will happen, with information about Jerry and about this show tonight. And right down at the bottom, there's a link to his website, and then right down at the bottom it says additional resource or additional information, something like that. And there's a link, and that link will take you to a video at YouTube. It will open up a video at YouTube, and it is Vangelis doing the concert we are about to discuss. Prepare to be impressed, because it is fantastic music. Even if you hate classical music, you'll love this. So, Jerry, let's talk about what's the deal here with this musician.
Well, Vangelis, I've got an echo, Kevin.
I didn't change anything, Jerry.
Okay. Vangelis basically was asked to perform a concert at the Temple of Zeus by NASA. And although there are no, no one can go to the Temple of Zeus and walk around or do anything there, you can get close to it, as you saw in one of the promos I made for you, but to actually get on the Temple of Zeus, that isn't going to happen. So, basically, NASA paid the Greek government a huge sum of money. And they brought in engineers and all kinds of technicians, and the next thing you know, they have this whole thing decked out like you've never seen anything like this before, folks. It's just absolutely extraordinary what they did to this place, and turned it into this showpiece. And Vangelis then performed a concert with an entire orchestra, with I think it's an 18-piece timpani drum, which are the big kettle drums, with a bunch of men and a bunch of women dressed in period clothing, like the ancient Greeks, who are the choir. And at the center of it all, the conductor, and then next to the conductor, there's Vangelis. And what they were doing, if you watch the concert, you're taking a look at this and you're going, holy mackerel, this is over the top incredible. If you haven't seen this, you should go get the DVD and watch it on a big screen or on your TV and hook it into your stereo and turn it up. It's over the top incredible. It's called Mythidia. And it looks just like this. Take a look.
I don't know if you can see it. Well, you have things turned around backwards, so we're reading your Mythodia is reversed. But anyway, there you go. Mythodia. Okay. And now, Vangelis says he made that title up. He made the word up, Mythodia. It's part myth and part ode. It's an ode to mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what he says about it. Now, folks, this Mythodia, if you're not familiar with classical music and the way it works, symphonies have movements. And so they play movement one, and then they pause, and then they play movement two, and then they pause and movement three. This is 11 movements. Mythodia has 11 movements. And there's one, the one that's linked, that is directly addressing Mars.
Well, Kevin, they are all being sent to Mars.
Do you know why?
Well, I'm sure you've got an answer for that already, but what I know from what I've been told, our friends in Greece, because you're going to be hearing the singing, and you don't know what they're saying, it just sounds nice. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was when Kathy and I listened to it. It's like, I wonder what they're talking about here. What are they saying? What's happening is that they are singing and compelling the gods to come back. They're talking to Zeus and Apollo and Athena and the whole range of the different gods, and they are pleading with them, come back, we need you here, so on and so forth. I have a full translation, and I'll send it to you, Kevin, if you want to put it in the members area.
Okay.
It's fascinating to listen to this and then know what they're doing, because then it makes sense, of course. But the thing that's extraordinary to me is that NASA wanted this because they were sending this information right to Mars. This symphony was playing out on Mars. It was being beamed there. And we have, for a while, Kathy and I, been looking into where did the gods go, because we found evidence of the gods, the Greek gods, all over the earth, not just in Greece. And then they left. Where did they go? Well, we think they went to Mars. And here now we have a Vangelis concert being beamed to Mars, so this could be sent to Mars. And who would pick it up? Well, the gods only know.
Well, let me tell you the connection.
All right.
The connection here, the reason, at least the public reason for the connection. Sony Classical decided that they were going to put this Mythodea out as an album and as a DVD. When it was performed, at the time that you're describing, that's about 10 years after it was first written and performed. And then it it just lay dormant for that time. Sony Classical heard it and decided that's fantastic stuff. They made arrangements with Vangelis for him to do some live concerts with it. And they were going to video it and so forth. Well, Sony Classical also then worked out a promotional deal with NASA. NASA picked up Mythodea as the sort of the theme music for a mission. And the mission was 2001 Mars Odyssey.
Right.
And the concert that, my understanding of this is that the concert that you're referring to, that performance of it, happened as 2001 Mars Odyssey entered orbit around Mars. As it entered orbit around Mars, they're singing this prayer to the gods, asking them to come back, and it's being beamed to Mars as the theme music for that mission.
Yeah.
Kind of strange, huh?
Oh, I thought it was just... I mean, when our friends over there told us in a very encapsulated way what was being said, it just made you scratch your head and go, huh? Are you kidding me? Because, you know, in our culture, you know, Kevin, how it is here, and we've heard about the gods. I mean, how many of you, raise your hand, how many of you watch Xena or Hercules? You know, these are the gods, right?
Yeah.
And we've been exposed to the Iliad and the Odyssey, you know, Homer. There's just kind of a thumbnail sketch of the gods for us, because there wasn't anything that was given any value or had an attribution of having any reality. It was like a big fairy tale, like Grimm's fairy tales. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, this isn't a fairy tale. This was something that not only was real, but it was life on Earth at the time. And the gods, being who they were, then having left, well, going to Mars. And now you've got NASA sending them a message, come back, we need you. Why would they do that?
And it was in ancient Greek. It was not in modern Greek. It was not in Koine Greek. It was in the Greek long before Koine Greek.
Yeah, it was. It was the ancient Greek that's being spoken. And to read the literal translation which you have to understand, it's a person who speaks this language, who doesn't speak English as a first language, who's putting it down in English. And it's fascinating to really dig into it as you're watching this video of Mythidea. It just, at some places, the hair stands up on the back of your neck.
So why is that? What do they say that makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck?
There's so much there. I was poring over that before the show this evening, trying to commit some of it to memory, but I didn't successfully do that. So what I'm going to do is just open up the window here so I can maybe just give you a sampling of what is being said, if I can find it. Well, I don't see it here immediately. I thought that I... Wait a second. Here we go. All right. Let's see. Well, and there's something else to tell you about, too, we just found out about. I haven't even had a chance to relate this information. But what is something that was... It had to do with the third movement here. Let me find it. Here's movement 9. I'll just read something off to you. For the mortals, just as the mother asks for the mortals not to happen, O Ares, don't let it happen again. That has to do with what happened to the earth, apparently. Let me just go back here to what I was thinking about, though, just a few moments ago. And sorry, folks, I'm trying to squeeze this together real quick. Here we go. Father Zeus, you gave your body for the ones that came down from Elysia. Let's remember, they came without you. They came down, they fought, but who remembers? Always appoint us properly. Your children give whatever you gave them. Apollo, father, glowing, I ask for you, how many Greeks live on earth? Now, Apollo, you must ask, glowing God, I ask, they come down and said good things about you. Don't believe them. You must never believe them. There's just so much here, Kevin. When you take it into context, really, as you're listening to it, you really get the feeling that what they're doing is they're really trying to communicate with the gods and give them some idea that we really need you to come back now. Something's not good here.
All right. We have to step away, and nobody has to sing to us. We will be back shortly. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jerry Wills. And at the moment, we are discussing a connection between NASA, a musician, a fantastic musician, by the name of Vangelis, the Greek government. That connection is real, and that connection is public. But is there possibly a connection to this other story about the giant skeletons as well? The giant skeletons found in ancient ruins under Athens in a marble crypt or vault, about 100 of them, 16 feet plus in height. Is there a connection to that? Now, Jerry, maybe there is and maybe there is not a connection, but considering the fact that we know there is this connection with Vangelis, the Greek government, NASA, Sony. Now, you know, NASA would probably say, we have no direct connection with Vangelis. And that would probably be true. Their connection is with Sony Classical, a promotional deal with Sony Classical for the Vangelis concert and the music. And so there is the connection there. And this was a joint effort between Sony Classical, NASA, and the Greek government to arrange this concert that you've been telling us about. Now, the video that you have and that you showed us, does that video, is that the video of the live performance that night?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. The one that I think we have a link to, the one I know we have a link to, but I think that one is not the same live performance that you described. It's in a ancient stadium in Athens, and the stadium is all marble. It is an ancient stadium. But I don't think it's at the Temple of Zeus. But the one that you're talking about is at the Temple of Zeus.
Yes, that's exactly right. And there was only one concert in Athens, and it was at the Temple of Zeus. And you, it looks like a big stadium because that's what's there.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's it then.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. And, you know, the thing that is really compelling about this is, okay, NASA picked this music as the theme for 2001 Mars Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And for that mission. And as the Mars Odyssey goes into orbit around Mars, Vangelis' concert is going on at the Temple of Zeus, and the prayer to the gods to come back is being broadcast to Mars. Mars.
Yeah, to Mars. Right from the Temple of Zeus. And I think it's interesting to also note that the Temple of Zeus was never completed. What you see is pretty much all that was done. It was never completed because the Romans invaded Greece. And then they started making it more like, well, what they thought it should be instead of what had been going on prior to that. So it was never completed.
So when we look at the ruins of the temple, that's pretty much what it looked like when the Romans got there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. You know, and another really fascinating thing about this whole thing with Athens, you have the Parthenon, which is just mind-blowing. It's up on top of this mountain, really. It's just sticking right up out of the city, and right up there is the Parthenon. Right across the way from it is another mountain, and these two mountains on top of this other one used to have another Greek temple, but the church came in and decided that it needed to be a church instead, so they tore it down and made a church, not quite as nice as what had been there. But these two mountains have different polarities that it's been measured, and they have different electrical characteristics and different magnetic characteristics. And as a result of that, these were two features, and the Temple of Zeus is at a very particular place, forming a triangle right there in that vicinity. But anyway, back to the Temple of Zeus and this concert. What an appropriate place to call out to Zeus from Earth. And to actually be heard out in space.
You talked to a lot of people in Greece, and you related to me, both while you were there and when you got back, that for them, talking about the gods is not mythology at all. It's history. They mm-hmm. actually were there. They actually existed. And but they were not gods in the modern sense of that word. They were simply super advanced beings compared to the what was here on Earth at the time. Now these gods, we know the Titans were very big, but were the gods also very big people?
As I understood it, they were. They were much larger than the Earth people, and as a result of that, you know, all of these temples are just larger than life. I mean, the statue of Athena that used to be in the Parthenon, no one knows what happened to it, but the statue of Athena was something like 25 feet tall. It was gigantic, made of ivory and gold and marble, and you know, a sight to behold.
Now, the people you talk to about all of this, I mean, what sort of people are they? I mean, what kind of background do they have? I mean, are they professional people? Are they blue-collar? What are they?
It's a real good mixture of folks. The conversations that we started having over there started occurring with a man that was special forces, that can run up and down a mountain, he can jump out of an airplane, he can go diving, fly a helicopter, fly a jet plane. I mean, the guy is just absolutely amazing. Very intelligent, highly intelligent, runs his own business. From there, we went on to talk with other people that were of various backgrounds. You know,
okay,
they had
different
backgrounds. They all spoke about this in the same context.
This special forces guy also spoke about it in this context.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, he's the one that told us about the Stargate over there. The you know, how because he was in the military, that there was something very similar to the Mautauk project that had been built over there in Greece because of some anomaly that's in this particular area. That's right near, incidentally, a place called Marathon, where the Battle of Marathon took place. And stories he had to talk about with that, they really weren't long and lengthy, but they were intriguing.
The thing with Vangelis happened, you know, the concert. Mm-hmm. Some of the people you talked to, I guess, were there when it was performed live.
Yes. Yeah. There
and
were,
how did it strike them at the time?
Well, they just couldn't believe that anyone would be allowed on the Temple of Zeus. It was just completely dumbfounding them that would be permitted at all. That's the Temple of Zeus. No one is allowed to even touch it.
And not only was it allowed, there were 90,000 people there.
Yeah. Well, and these people were all back here where people can go anyway. But Vangelis was right there, set up on the Temple of Zeus, performing.
I'm a little bit curious as to why people thought these skeletons were the Titans as opposed to some of the gods. Did they tell you why?
Oh, no. They really, and because we didn't have that much familiarity with Titans, I mean, we were familiar with giants. We've been looking for giants for, gosh, I don't know, couple of decades now, but the Titans, we really didn't have a very, very good understanding. What's a Titan anyway? What does that mean?
Alright, Jerry, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. We'll open up the telephone lines in this next hour. Well, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let me welcome those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. Welcome aboard. We're delighted to have you. My sympathies to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour, and I hope that never happens to you again. We're talking with Jerry Wills. He is the associate host here at Kevin Smith Show. He is also executive producer of Expeditions TV, and we're talking about two very interesting reports that he gathered while he was in Greece recently. And those two reports have to do with, one, the discovery under Athens of a marble crypt or vault with about 100 giant skeletons. These skeletons were approximately roughly 16 feet tall. And then we are talking about also a concert that happened in 2001, and it happened at the Temple of Zeus, a concert with the musician Vangelis. And it's classical music, and it is fantastic. As Jerry described it, over-the-top music. It really is just over-the-top. But the reason we're talking about that is because there is a known connection between NASA, Sony Classical, Vangelis, and the Greek government to produce that concert, and it's on video. You can get the DVD. You can see I found 10 movements. Maybe a movement 11 is there too. I didn't see it. On YouTube, we've linked to one of them, and particularly because, Jerry, the one we linked to is the one that as the choir is singing, they keep zooming in on photographs of Mars.
Yeah.
And they show a crater in this video. They show a crater that I'm sure that they have done this. I mean, it's manufactured video here, but a crater begins to fill up with water and then run over the sides. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic. But I want to talk about this thing with the giants just a little bit, and then we'll open the telephone lines for you folks. I had asked the question why the people associated the skeletons with the Titans and not the gods, who were also big, and we talked about that a little bit, and then we were talking about this this special forces guy that you talked to, and for him, this is all just history. It's not mythology at all. It's just history, and these are extraterrestrials. Do you find that in Greece there is a widespread acceptance of extraterrestrial intervention and presence here on Earth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We spoke to a lot of folks. And at one point on a Saturday afternoon, I just put it out on Facebook. We were at this particular place, if anyone wanted to show up, and we started talking with a whole room full of people that showed up, and everyone, without exception, when I asked them, do you think the gods were really gods, or do you think that they were something else? And everyone around the room had something to say, but everyone had the same context, which is these were people from another world, from another star system perhaps, but they weren't from Earth. They came here and they settled here for a while. And it was just a matter of fact thing. It wasn't like sometimes you talk to people and are like trying to compel you to believe them, and it wasn't that way at all. It was like, well, this is what it was, and the world just doesn't get it. You know, Kevin, there's a really intriguing thing that I don't think we've exposed listeners to. You and I have talked about it. And that is the Roswell crash and how that has a bit of a snippet in all of this as well. In the Roswell crash, you remember Jesse Martel is holding up a beam And the beam has these hieroglyphics on it that everyone says, well, we don't know what it means. And it was just played off as being some weird alien language. It wasn't. It was ancient Greek. It was held upside down and would read backwards to someone who could read that language. What this beam says, freedom, is the general context of what's being said there. And when they told me about this, I was like, are you kidding me? I said, no, we saw that. We said, oh, freedom. Well, what does it say? I mean, there's a lot of symbols there. What does it say? The gods bring freedom. That's what it said.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. Do the gods actually bring freedom? Even their own stories about the times when the gods were here show those gods as being capricious and at times vicious, and there wasn't freedom. So why is there this idea that it would be good for these guys to come back?
Well, that's a good question. I really don't have an answer for that. You know, in relation to the Titans and these giants, here are the symbols, incidentally. Kathy just brought them to me. But in relation to the Titans were here because Kronos was really angry with the people of Earth. And they ended up being here because of Kronos, which was like, in the hierarchy of things, he was like the main god, let's say, for that era. And under Kronos, he had a son named Zeus. And Zeus decided that he wanted to do something to protect the people of the earth, and so he and the others like himself went to war against the Titans to protect the people of the earth.
You were going to show us those symbols.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Here we go. And let me.
And by the way, that's Jesse Marcel.
Sorry. Let's see if we can get this on here.
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, we can kind of see it.
Give me a second. I'll just get it centered properly.
And so they're saying that this is ancient Greek that means freedom.
Yeah. It basically is saying that the gods bring freedom. And freedom from who? That's the next part of this story that is absolutely mind-blowing, because Kathy and I, mostly Kathy, has discovered there was a time when there was no moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are several references to that in ancient literature, in ancient recordings anyway. And what we were told next was just, we had to sit down and think about it for a while. Apparently, the Draconians, when the gods left, the Draconians, who are another race of people, were allowed to come and occupy the earth for a couple thousand years, or for a period. I really don't know if it's a couple thousand years. So what the Draconians did is they brought in the moon, and this is where they were based from, and they could then watch over the earth and do with the earth as they wish. So
the moon got here as a spaceship, is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you cross-reference that with Ingo Swann and with what he had to say about this, Ingo was very clear when he said the moon was hollow and that it was a ship, that it was a spaceship. So we're finding all these interesting little cross references back and forth to all of this stuff. Now, maybe the gods bring freedom from the Draconians. Apparently, when they moved the moon into place, it upset the natural balance and progression of this planet, and it wasn't allowed to go in the direction technologically or evolutionarily as it would have without their influence. I mean, we're all just speculating about this, of course, but it's a fascinating series of details that when you start knitting it together, it becomes mind-boggling. And there are cross-references, Kevin, not just to Greece, but to the Mayan civilization. I could not believe. I have a book here. It's all in Greek. Take a look at this.
Okay.
It's all in Greek. This book, and I was looking at it just a little earlier, is full of pictures. Just full of pictures and references. And what this guy has done is he's gone to just about every continent on Earth. And he's found ancient Greek symbols, writing, if you will, everywhere. In Peru, in Central America, in Asia, India, Africa, everywhere, North America included. These are symbols that are ancient Greek, and the Greeks say that these symbols are the original language of the extraterrestrials, the gods, who came here, and that ancient Greek is their language. Hmm. Just mind-blowing. When we took a look at this material and checked it against what we've been looking at in Peru, it matched. And it's like, oh my gosh, what do we have here? We have information that might lead us back to Greece, to where the gods had established their point of operation, their city. And if that's the case, you know, like they used to say, all roads lead to Rome. All roads, in this case, lead to Greece. And that's one of the reasons we want to get back there.
Well,
because everything
we
found goes that way.
Let me throw something into the mix here.
Sure.
You were mentioning the Draconians came, and the Draconians were allowed to live here on Earth for about 2,000 years. They came
I'm sorry? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kevin, but I'm not sure on that duration, that time duration, so don't use that as an absolute.
And they came here in what we call the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's their spaceship, and they were forced at some point to leave the Earth, and they reside on the moon, or in the moon. Okay, interesting story. It's also interesting that ancient culture... Whenever we talk about the Nephilim, a lot of people get it all wrong, and they just kind of feel their way through it instead of read and think. The Nephilim, I've read so many books on this, and I've heard so many seminars, and people say, well, that's the offspring of the sons of God going to the daughters of men. And other people say, no, that is the sons of God who went to the daughters of men, in speaking about in Genesis. And it's neither one of those. Neither one. Because Genesis tells you specifically who went to the daughters of men. It was B'nai Elohim, the sons of the Elohim. But it happened when the Nephilim had arrived. The Nephilim had gotten here by that time. And who are they? They are simply another race of off-worlders. Mm-hmm. Who got here. They are not angels. They are not fallen angels. They are not who went to the daughters of men and giants were born. They are simply a time marker. For instance, we would say, we pick historical events and we say, well, such and such happened like about 2 months after this. For instance, well, this, you know... My daughter's youngest child was born about 2 months after the 9/11 disaster. So we pick a historical event, we put it in as a time marker, and that it has nothing to do with the story other than give you a time marker. And that's what the Nephilim are in Genesis. They're a time marker, but ancient culture refers to them as Draconians.
Interesting.
So there was a time before they were here, but at the time when this sons of God went to the daughters of men, whenever that happened, the time marker is the Nephilim were here by that time. It's a time marker.
Okay.
So the Draconians had arrived by that time.
The I was just playing back something that I had read mentally, and I remember now that the duration in time was about 15,000 years ago that the Draconians showed up on the scene. And they were being kept at bay, apparently, by the gods. And then the gods decided to leave for whatever reason, and they allowed the Draconians at that point to remain here. But they weren't kept off the earth, Kevin. They were allowed to have dominion over it and over the people of the earth.
And so why have they retired to the moon?
Well, they really haven't. That's just where their base is. They go between here and there, apparently. They're the ones who are the masters of the earth at this point, according to the information that I've been exposed to. I don't know this for an absolute fact, but the things that I've seen indicate that that's the case. And even when Ingo Swann was taking a look at the moon, they didn't like it very much, and they actually started some problems here on Earth as a result of Ingo being asked to take a look at what was there. Yeah, this is in a book that Ingo wrote. I forgot the name of it off the top of my head.
It's called Penetration.
That's it, Penetration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the one, if you can find one, the next thing is to find the money to buy it, because it's about $800 now.
I asked Ingo, why is that? I said, well, how about if, don't you have a copy around here that I could get from you? He just looked at me and he says, I can't even afford my own book. I don't have a copy. Well, I have a copy, and it was some other language. Says, but I don't. If I had a copy, I'd sell it. I could use the money. It's nuts. He won't reprint it. He won't bring it back.
Okay, I want to invite the audience to participate in tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. We have laid out for you some really hairy, heavy information. And we'd like to know your thoughts on it. You may have some additional details that we don't have. You may have some questions. You may have some comments about it. Well, this is your opportunity to participate, and you do that by giving us a telephone call. You call us at 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Now, if you are not in the USA, if you're not in Canada, then you can call that number, but it's expensive to make international long-distance calls from most countries. So we have an additional option for you, and that is the flash message. If you are in the USA, if you are in Canada, forget the flash message. I won't read it. Okay? We have telephones for you. All right? So you just go over to my website. If you're outside the USA and Canada, go over to the website, scroll down. When you see the picture about tonight's show, right above it is the link for the flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, this is Brent.
Hi, Brent.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Jerry. I'm going to ask Jerry to... I don't know if I missed it because I had to step out or not, but the story of the last Titan in Alexander in China... And then I'm going to ask you both to speculate what would happen if they came back, the gods. And I'll take this off of you.
Okay.
All right, super. Well, I don't know the entire story, Brent, about the last of the Titans. As I understand it, Alexander was the prodigy of a god and an earth woman who made a baby, and he was a demigod. And they decided on demigods, you know, earlier than Alexander, but Alexander was a demigod. And part of the reason why they did this was because not all the gods agreed that getting rid of the Titans was the thing to do, that the Earth people should do it. So demigods came about, and Alexander went after them. And according to the resources we have, all these conquests that he had, going conquering the entire world and so forth, and at a very early age, I might say, was because he was going after the Titans and getting rid of the evil on the Earth, ending their influence.
Right, very quickly, what do you think would happen if the gods came back?
Boy, that's a good one. I don't know. I think it'd be, that would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Well, my answer is I have no idea, but I bet we can answer it, all of us, pretty soon. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hi, Rex.
Hello, Rex.
Hey, Jerry. That's fascinating about the ancient Greek for both the Roswell and the Peru. Do you have any speculation about why nobody figured that out before? It seems like that would have been a pretty easy one for scholars to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't have a clue. I don't know why we didn't see it before. But, you know, with having been given this book that I was showing earlier, it has caused us to pore over old videos and old photographs. And, you know, this book is in Greek, so we can't read it. It's in Alexandrian Greek, the newer Greek since Alexander. And, you know, it just wasn't even something we were thinking of. Why would we even be thinking in terms of there being ancient Greek symbols in the mountains, in the Andes Mountains of Peru? That doesn't even make sense to even think about. Well, now it does. So I don't know why they haven't thought of it, and maybe someone has, but, you know, in the world of archaeologists, if you happen to wander outside of a given dynamic that they say that you should operate within, then you're going to lose your funding, you're not going to get any grants, you're not going to be liked very well, made fun of, and you're just going to have to go sell flowers in the corner. So even if someone did stumble across this, to bring it forward would be, you know, a type of suicide, really.
You'd just be
doing yourself in.
Suicide for the archaeologist's career.
Yeah, for their career. Exactly right. And I've met some archaeologists who have hit that point. It's astonishing how vicious this field is when it comes to people who disagree with the standard or the status quo.
All right, we have to take a break. Rex, you want to hang on, or does that do it for you?
No, that's it.
All right, thanks. Well, folks, we shall return right after this.
Arizona, but nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and we are talking about two fantastic reports that he's gotten out of Greece. Some of what we're talking about you've heard about, little bits and pieces, but he's actually talked to people who have firsthand experience with it, and some who know that we're not talking about mythology here. These giants existed, and you know, perhaps they were the gods, perhaps they were titans. And interestingly, NASA funded a concert along with the Greek government, a concert featuring the music of Vangelis at the Temple of Zeus, beamed that live to Mars, and it's a prayer for the gods to return. Stephen Hawking says we shouldn't be doing stuff like that. They didn't listen. All right, but it was in 2001 before Stephen Hawking was even admitting there were aliens. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. I got a couple of things to say about this. First of all, those skeletons and the fact that they were spirited away by these unmarked vehicles and so on that don't have any, as far as you know, Jerry, don't have any markings of any agency or any nationality whatsoever, makes me believe they may have been descended upon by some kind of globalist operatives. And I think if that's the case, these skeletons would be of incredible value to these guys, if for no other reason than to research the DNA that's locked up in those bones and to see if what they can clone out of them or what they can graft onto them somewhere. And if that's the case, I think it would be interesting to keep an eye on the news and see what happens with Greece's debt. You know, if Greece suddenly becomes debt-free or, you know, digs their way out of the Eurozone financially, then that would lead me to believe that maybe these skeletons have been put to use some way. Another thing I'd like to point out is about the Titans and Kronos. Kronos, of course, is one of the old gods, as you pointed out, Kevin. He had the nasty habit of eating his own children,
yeah,
because the Earth goddess, Earth Gaia, I think, prophesied that one of his children would dethrone him. So as his children were born to him, he'd eat them one by one. Until Rhea gave birth to Zeus, she hid Zeus out in a cave in Crete somewhere, I think. And when Zeus came of age, he came back to the court, and of course Cronus wouldn't recognize him. He went to work as his cupbearer, and Rhea, his mother, put an emetic, something that would cause Cronus to vomit. And Zeus fed this, you know, handed the cup to Cronus. Cronus took a deep drink of it and vomited up all his children. You know, they all came back, and then they went to war against against Kronos and the Titans, who were basically Kronos's thugs. You know, they were his enforcers, and they kept the human race kind of policed and under control and in fear. Now, as a result of this warfare and the ultimate defeat of Kronos and the Titans, one of the legends says that they were imprisoned in Tartarus, somewhere down in the hollow earth, I suppose. And another legend says that they were exiled to an island east of Great Britain, or rather west of Great Britain. Now that would tell me that would probably be Ireland. And you know, way back about this time, ancient Gaelic mythology talks about a giant people who came down to them that they call the Tuatha De Danann. And you know, and they had their own interesting legends and traditions built around the Tuatha De Danann and how the Irish people had to deal with them and put up with them over a period of time. I think these Titans and Kronos have a connection all over the world and in several cultures. You know, and it's just an interesting thing how the collective consciousness of humanity records all these events, and they're all so related. I just wanted to point that out and add it to the dialogue, gentlemen. And thank you, Jerry, for your hard work and your explorations, and Kevin for sharing all this with us. I appreciate you both.
All right, thanks much.
Thank you, Steve. And you know, it's true that we've been looking for giants in the northern territories of Arizona, southern areas of Utah. There are a lot of giants buried there, and we've also been looking for giants in South America. And the similarity between all of them is that they all are just about the same kind of description, which, you know, leads you to believe that if they were, like you were saying, Steve, the police force of Kronos, you would put them all over the earth, and it certainly seems to be the case.
All right, 623-444-5889. Now, that's the number. That is the number for you to call if you wish to participate in tonight's show. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can either call that number or you can use our flash message feature. And we have a flash message here from Australia, and it's from Simon. And Simon has this to say: what do you think happened between the gods and the Dracos? If the gods left and let the Draco take over dominion of the earth, why would the gods challenge that situation now?
Well, from what I was told, they told these Draconians, you can have the earth for a period of time, but no longer than whatever time they said, because we're going to come back and you can't have the earth. So I don't think that the Draconians are actually looking to stay. I think they already understand they can't. But then it brings up an interesting question in my mind. What happened on Mars? Could it be? I mean, considering that the Draconians moved a small planet-sized object around the Earth, let's say that that's a fact. Well, then, what happened on Mars? Something happened and completely annihilated all life on Mars, really just annihilated the planet. Could it be that the Draconians had allies and they needed to get rid of the gods once and for all so that they could put themselves into a permanent circumstance here? That's one of the questions that I have, and I'm looking for answers to that as well.
623-444-5889. Take advantage of the opportunity to make your statement or ask your question. I think this is a very good question that Simon has asked, Simon in Australia. Mm-hmm. Why would they challenge that situation now? You know something? We do it. How many times have we watched governments, this government, the British government, the Russian government, I guess the Chinese, I don't know about that, but how many times have we watched world powers? France has done it. Austria has done it. And they set up a puppet government somewhere. And that puppet government has a local head of government, but this government answers to the other country. And then for some reason the other country gets displeased with the local head of government and decides he's got to go. And he says, no, I'm not going anywhere. And then what happens? Well, when you've set up a puppet dictator, the only way to fire him is war. And so that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in and they wage war against him and defeat him and start over. They clear the deck and start over, put in another puppet government. And we have watched country after country around the world do this for a very long time. So I would not suspect it would be much different from that, Jerry. I would think that, they left the Dracos in charge and told them at a certain point in time you're going to have to vacate because we're on the way back. And if the Dracos say, nah, I don't think we'll do that, then what do they got to do? They got to take down the puppet government.
Well, maybe that's why NASA was sending out a request for the gods to return to the last place that they know that the gods had left for, which would be Mars. And strange, strange stuff. And, you know, another thing, too, I mean, while we're talking about strange things, you know, let's take a look at some of the work of Michael Tillinger, some of the things that he's uncovered, the cities there in the south of Africa. And then, I can't think of the other fellow's name, but he's also working in a similar vein. The Star of Origin comes to mind that he and I were talking about. It's when I was sitting in for you. I was interviewing him, and I just cannot think of his name at this moment. But he was one of the things that was most prominent about our conversation was that there was the obelisk, and at one particular time during the year, and it doesn't matter where the obelisk is. If we're talking about the Washington Monument or the one over in Vatican City in Rome, or one in Egypt. One particular time of year, I think it's in late September, just as Orion is, you know, touching the Earth, right above the very tip of the obelisk, there is a tiny little dim star that this is pointing to, and this is considered the Star of Origin. And this goes to, into Masonic, rite and ritual as well. Wayne Herschel.
Oh, yeah, Wayne Herschel.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. She's my brain. What would I do without her, huh? But yeah, Wayne's material's like over the top amazing. And so you start looking at some of these. The interplay with this information is mind-boggling. I just sit baffled for long hours at a time.
I have seen you like that, but I thought it was tequila. Okay. caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Jeff from Tennessee.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
I find it a little strange that this would come to light right on the heels of that movie Prometheus.
I've heard it's a crappy movie.
Why do you think it's strange that this comes to light right on the heels of Prometheus?
Well, pretty much, you know, we know Hollywood spreads a lot of propaganda about things also.
Hey, Jim, need you to hang on. We have a break taking over, and we will be back right after this, folks, and we'll get you first up, Jim. To the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and on the telephone with us from Tennessee is Jeff. Jeff had to cut you off in mid-speak there, so the floor is yours.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, a lot of this stuff that comes out of Hollywood seems to, you know, either be a prequel to something that they're going to tell us, or it's to condition the masses, you know, to grasp certain concepts or become comfortable with things. You know, what if indeed that little concert that was done was to appease the gods that may be already on their way back?
Well, it very well could be. What do you think, Jerry? Jerry, your microphone is not on, but it's on over here.
Oh, there we go. My fault.
Okay.
turn that thing off. I hit the wrong button, just like
usually. Like I do?
Yeah. what I was saying, if you'd read my lips before, it was, you know, that's really an intriguing thought. Gosh, you know, maybe that's the case, and they're sending out a thing saying, hey, we're friendly, we're excited you're coming home. Mm-hmm. What a thought, though. That's an intriguing thought.
Please don't eat us.
Okay, so Jeff, let me ask you a question. Let's say that what you've described as a possibility, let's say that's exactly what it was, that it was to try and appease the gods that were already on their way here. How does that fit with the stories we hear about all these black budget projects to build weapons to fight off the incoming extraterrestrial invasion?
Well, perhaps they're coming back to give us a hand to kick some people out.
That could very well be. You know, something that we haven't even touched on yet, it's information I got. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, Jeff. There is a scientist in Romania I was just made aware of that we're going to need to go and interview, if we can get to him, that was instrumental in something called the Rudan effect. He's a scientist. His name is Vasily Rudan, researcher in, I can't read this, it's like another language. But anyway, what he did is he developed a machine that can, at long distances, detect different kinds of life forms to distinguish between Earth person and extraterrestrial. And this is something that was sponsored by the government. This isn't just some inventor in his backyard. And it says here, concerning the monitoring of extra-human targets in theaters of military operations. That would certainly make you wonder why governments would be sponsoring research into the development of machines like this. And maybe you've got a good point, that perhaps they are anticipating the return, and you know, the war machines that are being built against invaders are actually the people who are already here, that they're trying to bolster up their systems so that they can assist the gods in kicking out the draconians, you know, if that whole scenario is even a fact. But can you imagine the war that would be taking place between these two factions if this were to occur? What a thing. It would just be extraordinary.
Yeah, it'd make the Aurora Borealis look like a lava lamp.
Well, and then you've got these spinning blue wormhole things in the sky now that are starting to appear. Could this be the gods coming back? You know, you find these spirals in a lot of ancient rock drawings.
Jeff, I happen to know that you are an expert, a genuine bona fide expert at the development of high-tech medical devices. Can you, in that capacity, with that cap on, can you think of a way that it would be possible for Rudan to have developed a device like this?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it something that you think you could do, or is it way specialized?
I've developed some weird stuff over the years, but I think that may be a little out of my league. You know, it's incredibly complex as science has got. There's some very simple underlying things that, you know, we're just like Philipov said, know, that we're just, you know, we're seeing things, we're just looking at it wrong. And so, you know, we're starting to open up, our learning curve's going way up. I mean, there was even an announcement that NASA had developed a superconducting amplifier that is virtually noise-free and that can peer in deep recesses of deep space. So, I mean, the technology's opening up. And we got some... what we see on a day-to-day basis in our lives, and what we hear about is stuff that's already been developed a long time ago. They're just now rolling it out. I mean, the next generation of high-tech computers are already either on the drawing board or have been produced and being tested. We've got superconducting materials now. Quantum computing is starting to happen. We're entangling pairs, finding bad particles. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
All right.
Well, go ahead, Kevin.
We're just about out of time, so Jeff, I'm going to have to let you go. Thanks for the call.
Okay, nice talking to you. You too, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry. We got about a minute and a half here.
All right. Well, very quickly, the name is Vasile. Next name is Rudan. We haven't even looked into this that deeply yet. Just got the information a couple hours ago. And the other thing I want to say is these interviews that we were recording over in Greece about the giants, I have yet to get these in the computer and actually turn them into something that you can watch. Once I do that, it will be available first and only on the Kevin Smith Show. So members, call your friends and ask them why they aren't in the members area yet, because this is a really interesting video, and I know you folks who are listening, who are members, are going to really enjoy seeing it. If you're listening on the radio and you are not watching, then you need to become a member quickly, because I'm going to get this together and get it to Kevin so he can present it for you folks, and it'll be exclusive to the members of the Kevin Smith Show.
There you go. All right, folks. Interesting stuff, and you know, front bumper information, and you know, that's what we do here. And I hope you'll take what Jerry said to heart. If you're not a member, you know, we don't sell Coca-Cola, we don't sell Fords or Chevrolets on the show. We don't do advertising on the show, and so we don't have advertising income. We are 100% listener supported. And we need you to become a member. But you need to be a member. It's only $7.50 a month. Only $7.50. And then you get to watch the show. You get you can watch it live. If you happen to miss the show, you can catch it the next day. You got the archives, all kinds of stuff. All right. That's going to do it for this evening. And I want to thank Jerry for being with us. As always, Jerry, fascinating. Stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.